Columbus.
Good evening. I'm Nate Putterwalder, Sports Update. The University of Michigan today announced that Athletic Director Ward Manuel will step down at the end of the year. This following an investigation into the athletic department that found that weaknesses in accountability, organizational structure, oversight, and reporting created conditions in which misconduct was not always addressed. The Guardians are at home tonight, opening a four-game series with the Minnesota Twins. They set a game back in the AL Central. Tanner Bibee of the Guardians takes on Joe Ryan. First pitch is at 6:40. The Cincinnati Reds are out west for a series with the Seattle Mariners. Andrew Abbott of the Reds duels it out with Seattle's George Kirby. First pitch comes your way at 9:40. Catch the action right here on The Fan. And in NFL news, the Green Bay Packers and defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt came to terms on a three-year, $57 million contract extension. This Sunday brought to us by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates and balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. That's BMIFCU.org/Visa. Bringing sports news and weapons to The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand record for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yes!
This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling here on a Monday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with our guy, A-Ward Sports, Austin Ward, Nate Dogg behind the glass. Austin, happy Monday to you, my friend. What's going on, buddy? Good to talk to you.
It's a beautiful Monday indeed. Great to see you. It's been so long since we've been together on these airwaves. Looking forward to the next couple hours.
Absolutely, man. It's going to be a fun show for sure. Yep. Wednesday, got out of town last week, went up to the beautiful city of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
Lovely bride and I, Meredith, went and saw Death Cab for Cutie up at Jacob's Pavilion where it was 200 degrees. So we did that. Nate, you went to see AC/DC at the Horseshoe on Wednesday.
I did.
You also said it was 200 degrees.
It was also 200 degrees, and I had to walk up 5,000 flights of stairs.
Yes, I think that's an accurate number to put on that. So I was good. We got away last week a little bit, went up to Cleveland, did the aquarium on Thursday, did the science center on Thursday. William jumped in a space capsule and pretended to be an astronaut for like 4 hours. So that was pretty cool. Got back, hung out on the weekend. And, yeah, got to play golf with Big Daddy Paul Keels and Skip Mossick on Saturday. Ron Stokes was very kind enough to invite me out there to play with those guys. So a lot of fun Saturday, Austin. And then watch the World Cup final between England and France on Saturday. A thrilling 6-4 victory. Congrats to England on winning the World Cup. Good job on them.
That was the third place game, Beamer.
Oh, okay.
The championship.
That was the one that actually had offense.
The World Cup final was Sunday.
It was the people's final. All right.
Was it?
Yeah.
You watched the wrong game.
Nah, that was fine.
There wasn't a trophy attached on Saturday night.
It was a third place match.
I can't believe you, for one. Let's cut that tape back on. 6 weeks ago, you're sitting in that same spot. Mm-hmm. You're asking me about my level of excitement for the World Cup.
I said I'll be watching everything. With a caveat, unless it's an Argentina-Spain
final.
No,
there was no caveat. I told you. You sat right there, and I was, you know, I was explaining, hemming and hawing, U.S. games, I'll be locked in. I don't know how much else I'll really want to watch. It'll probably grow on me as it goes along. I'm still really upset about FIFA and ticket price gouging and everything else that goes along with the general corruptness of that organization. Mm-hmm. But you said you had no doubts in your mind. You said from the start, U.S. gets knocked out. I don't care. I'm watching every game, baby. Yep. It's a World Cup. Every single one. Even if you gave me Argentina and Spain, I'd be locked in. You'd have to pry me out of the chair, is what you said. And here we go. You made this claim, and apparently you backed it up on Sunday that you were protesting the final for reasons only related to on-field issues.
That's correct.
That's crazy, man.
That's correct. I did it. We went to Hilliard. It was
you
lovely.
Should be ashamed.
Nah, you know what? I watched 98% of the game, so I think I was in the 1%, well, maybe the 2% of this country watching all the World Cup games. So FIFA got my viewership. That's not a me problem. You watched, I guess, the quote-unquote final yesterday.
I didn't watch the third place game.
Well, see, you missed out on a way better, way more entertaining game.
With far fewer consequences.
That's the best part about the third place game. There's no consequences where the rules are made up.
Were you locked in on Tuesday night in the All-Star game? That's what it was.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Congrats to Kylian Mbappe, the Golden Boot winner in a game that absolutely didn't matter. Got a great show lined up for you here this evening. Austin, Buckeyes got a big commitment over the weekend. We'll talk about that in our next segment at 6:17. And also, a crazy stat about Alabama football, and I don't even know if it's a stat, a quirk, whatever it is, surrounding the commitment of Carlos May, who Ohio State got. We'll get into that in our next segment. 6:30, it's a Three Thoughts Tuesday on a Monday. Austin, we'll get to that. The Shot's going through some renovations. We'll get to that at 6:46. We got the ACC and the SEC talking. They've got media days, all kinds of different stuff going on there. And then, Austin, your question of the day will take us to the impending recruitment and possible commitment of David Gabriel George. We'll get into that around 7:17. Let me start you off here by telling you everything that you need to know about the Ward Manuel situation that came out a little bit earlier today.
I don't think you have enough time to get into everything that was going wrong up there.
It just, I mean, not surprising, right? We talked last week how there was going to be a meeting on Thursday. The Board of Regents, everyone who's a who's who at the University of Michigan coming together. Everything coming out of that meeting is like, what? Ward Manuel's good. We're going to be fine. Everything's okay with this, except for the $12 million spent in an investigation into the...
They also left, and the president, who I'm not sure that he's fit for that job moving forward, he said into a microphone, into a recorder, we still think Ward Manuel's the best athletic director in the country. Mm-hmm. That was Thursday. Today's Monday. Please proceed.
Yeah. So dropped $12 million on an investigation, and then surprise to everybody.
Oh, massive shock.
Ward Manuel will be leaving the University of Michigan at the very end of this year, Austin, which is interesting. I mean, I was reading John U. Bacon's kind of take on this. I mean, guy's written countless books about Michigan, has been all over Michigan athletics for forever. And the fascinating part about this is Ward Manuel's like staying on as an advisor, right, for the university. And here is his take. He said, Michigan's response once again makes no sense. If AD Ward Manuel is not a central part of the problem, President Grasso cited from the $12 million report, then why push him out? If he is a central part of the problem, why keep him as an advisor to enact the needed reforms? And I think that's the greatest piece, the greatest thing anybody can say about this entire Michigan saga. It's like, well, if he's a part of the problem, he needs to go. If he's not, he can have his job. We're somewhere in a gray area. It was very strange today how this all went down.
I don't understand their reticence to point the finger at him. I know that there have been a number of comments that Ward Manuel made, including an interview last Tuesday that was allegedly scheduled in advance, mm-hmm. but followed through in the midst of all of this turmoil and clearly negotiating some sort of exit while Ward Manuel was trying to fight for his job in the court of public opinion. But, you know, his stance on that was, no one wants to be judged individually for the actions of others. Okay, there might be an element of truth to that. Nobody does want that. But also, your superiors should probably be knowing what you're doing, what job you're doing. And in this case, there was direct evidence, which was reported on in real time and later on by the... You have the investigation that was being reported on in real time and passed out before Michigan has released any of these findings. Mm-hmm. You have the Wall Street Journal reporting that, you know, contemporaneously in 2024, before Sherrone Moore's first game, that he was writing about the eventual victim, the assistant who was having the affair with Sherrone Moore. It is clear and pretty obvious, not just that Ward Manuel knew about this, but everyone at Michigan knew about it. And also, I can say that with a fair amount of confidence, not just because of this investigation, but because a year ago, before the 2025 football season even started, it was being talked about here in national media outlets and everywhere in college football. So in that scenario, you're not being judged based on the actions of somebody else. You're being judged on your lack of response to something that was happening and you were aware of on your watch. And Ward Manuel can say, you go ahead, prove it, show the direct evidence. That's what this $12 million investigation was all for.
And they found that's what it did.
And they found that. So you can't keep, you know, the old cliche of, you know, having your cake and eating it too. Like Michigan still can't decide on one course of action, even though they've got a clear cut path in front of them.
I was going to say real quick, you were saying you don't know why they're hesitating to point the finger at Ward Manuel. I can think of a reason. Fingers can point back.
Well,
that would be why, you know, he's staying on for another 6 months or so.
And it's certainly, to me, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, reads as, all right, well, there's some sort of a buyout. We're going to keep you on for 6 months. You're going to be an advisor.
You're getting a lot of money out of this.
Don't say anything. Don't stir the pot. Like, we're not going to get out of the buyout totally scot-free. Here you go. Go away. That's what it reads to me.
They can, it certainly reads like they can get out of it, and arguably that they should. I know that Nate's point is, we don't want Ward Manuel turning around and saying, well, there were also these things that were happening. It's under his watch. I don't know how a new leadership...
Unless he knows something about what's been going on at the university and the academic level.
Well, there's
also... Or that the president just knew about it.
Right.
There's also new leadership at the presidential level. So they ripped the Band-Aid off. It makes no sense the way that they're proceeding down this road. It doesn't help you to keep Ward Manuel. What decisions is he going to be allowed to make in the next 5 months? And I think if they're hoping, let's get somebody in place and have a transitionary period, but he's going to advise moving forward on the culture, maybe their plan is, we're going to go Costanza on this. And whatever Ward Manuel says, Michigan must do the opposite.
Yeah.
Because this man has dug this hole, and there were championships down there. He found gold. But maybe we don't want to be in the mud looking for it anymore.
The Buckeyes get another rather large commitment over the weekend. We'll get into that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
...of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
As America's largest custom home builder, Schumacher Homes believes a top quality home should be affordable for everyone in the Buckeye State. We work with the leading architects to bring you the latest in design, and then you have the ability to make changes. Not just selecting finishes, but moving walls, adding rooms, literally customizing anything from the ground up. It's a misconception that custom homes have to be expensive. We work within your budget to build an amazing home on your land. Visit SchumacherHomes.com or any of our 9 Ohio locations.
Experience the ultimate gridiron experience at the Ohio State Football Training Camp presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture, happening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center August 6th through August 8th. Don't miss your chance to get the first look at your Ohio State football team. Bring your friends and family and dive into the excitement with inflatables, giveaways, and more. Tickets are limited, so get yours today to ensure you don't miss out on the fun. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Ohio State Buckeyes to purchase your tickets today.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Buckeye football camp is coming, and our team of fan personalities will be there live. All the sweaty sack fun starts Thursday, August 6th. For tickets, head to Ticketmaster.com, your home of the Buckeyes. One, two, three. The Fan.
Come on over to Heartland. Join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb, coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Cancer. For some, it's one of life's fiercest foes, but not at the James. While cancer hides, we hunt as a team like no other, giving patients access to the most advanced treatment options and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center. We have a chance of severe weather across central Ohio on Tuesday, especially the first half of the day. It's about a 90% chance of seeing a line or two of thunderstorms come through. Some of them could be severe with damaging winds. High temperatures, low 80s, turning drier in the afternoon. On Wednesday, a lot of sunshine, 77, about 80 on Thursday, dry and sunny. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is the Buckeye Show.
I got my guy Austin Ward here this evening. I want to let you know that we're here on the Buckeye Show, brought to you by our good friends over at CareSource. What you looking forward to Big Ten Media Days next week?
Oh, so stoked. Can't wait. Nate Dogg knows. Not even worried about the Lollapalooza traffic getting in there bright and early on Wednesday morning. Hopefully the roads will be open then. I don't know if we'll be able to leave.
They usually are in the morning. You can get around.
They can't just shut down downtown Chicago for an entire day. Well, maybe they can.
Well, you guys are on the south
side.
They
will by the afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging. And when we try to escape after the Buckeyes are done, maybe that will take a little bit longer than intended. But
where are you guys going after?
After the Buckeyes are done, we're getting out.
Oh, you are?
We're coming home.
Okay.
I got to come back to talk to you on
Thursday.
Right.
That is
so
correct.
So our intention is to get most of the way to Chicago on Monday night after the Buckeye show.
Staying in Hammond?
If Kevin Warren has any say, everyone is staying in Hammond.
Yeah.
So we'll see. No, right now we're just planning to go scout out West Lafayette.
Okay.
Set up camp there on the side of the road on Monday night. Haven't seen still from the Big Ten as of this moment an exact schedule and an exact time for Tony Petitti. The only reason that we're going over early,
it's only a week away.
Well, I also was in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center earlier today, and I was talking to Ohio State's communications staff, and I was like, have you guys got your full list of times available? Well, we have a tentative time that we're going to start, but every year I've described this before, they're filling out a spreadsheet basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's complicated. It's color coded. It's got a bunch of stops.
Here's TV, here's radio, here's audio, here's digital.
They have about 7 hours usually of responsibilities. The next week that'll be Jalen McClain, Jeremiah Smith, and Julian Sand along with Ryan Day. And you're going to have 15 minutes at every single stop, with the exception of, your breakout session. That's about 45 minutes for Ryan Day and 45 minutes apiece for all the players. So some of that stuff is staggered throughout the day. They're moving them from one place, one location to the other. And there's a couple flex periods built into their schedule. This is where you might go to Radio Row. We don't know who you're going to talk to. Well, for these guys, it's most likely going to be me, Berm, and Television's Adam King, because mm-hmm. we're set up on Radio Row with all of our stuff there. And we do the podcast and send that content back to all you fine folks in Columbus and on the 97.1 The Fan YouTube channel. But all that's to say, I was just, asking. I'm like, I'm not saying you have to nail it down. I don't need you to give me my schedule right this second. But do you know what time they start? Do you know when some of those windows are built in? They said, no, the Big Ten hasn't provided that yet.
Oh, lovely.
And there are new communications people in football. They're coming from other leagues, and they're saying, it's a little bit odd to us, a week out from Big Ten Media Days to not know the schedule. And I said, yeah, I bet you'll get used to it.
Rather quickly.
It's been about 15 years that I've not seen a lot of this stuff done in advance. But, all that is to say, Berm and I had debated, do we need to go cover Tony Petitti's press conference on Tuesday? Will there be value to it?
You want to.
I don't want to, but I feel like we should. Need is also too strong of a word. We don't need to, and I don't want to.
What if you get a one-on-one with him?
The previous commissioner was open to that. Mm-hmm. Now, that was after I was threatened with a punch in the throat from his communications consigliere.
I don't think I've heard that story.
You haven't heard that one? Okay. Kevin,
when did that all go down? Was that pre-COVID, during COVID, post-COVID?
I think it was 2021.
Okay. So coming out of it, returning to a little bit of normalcy the football season.
I would have to go double check.
Because I don't think we had a Big Ten Media Days in 2020.
I don't know. We had a virtual one. And right before they pulled the plug.
Nice.
So I think it was 2021. And then 2022, I believe, was his last year in charge. I'd have to double check all these dates, but the
seems
correct. In that ballpark. And so in 2022, Kevin Warren went up there and filibustered his brains out. He went 50 minutes out of his hour and didn't take any questions.
Full on Dabo.
Full on. Like, Dabo would be blushing at the amount of filibuster. And I was like, whatever. There were so many questions.
Was he just reading? Was he just
reading? Well, he was also talking about, in the success of women's basketball and the
State of the Union for the conference.
And he was treating it as one for the conference. And I was getting so worked up as it went along because everybody had questions from every school and everything that was going on with college football playoff this and NIL here and the rules were changing. And
expanding of the conference was a big thing then.
Expansion of the yes, 100 topics that were not addressed. And wound up took like 4 questions, didn't really answer any of them, came from, select handpicked national media members. And I was like, what was that? So I'm just getting worked up. I wrote a column. I was not planning on writing a column about Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, but I wrote it in like 15 minutes. And I was like, this is the biggest waste of time that I've ever heard. And just lambasted this state of the union. And his PR person, the one that the league was paying outside as an advisor, which said she was brought along during COVID. I really found myself enjoying her personality. She's very pugnacious.
Ooh.
But she read the column.
I'm reading it right now.
You got it already?
Uh-huh. I've got it up.
Okay. And it was up for about 5 minutes. And
this was 2021. You got the date.
She walked over and she used language that I cannot say on the Buckeye Show. And she's like, basically the gist was, who do you think you are? Basically. Mm-hmm. But with a lot more words. And
who do you think you are? I said, tell me
what is wrong with this? Did you think that was a good speech? So I'm giving it right back. I felt that way strongly and I wouldn't have written it if I didn't. I had there was really no incentive for me to write it at all. But this is what's happened. Someone's got to speak out about what I felt was ridiculous and an embarrassment to the Big Ten. And so I did. And she came. I said, well, I don't know who wrote that speech or told him that he shouldn't take any questions, but if it was you, you did him a disservice. And she's like, I want to punch you in the throat right now. But she also used other words when she was saying that. And there's like 30 people now watching this transpire. And Berm likes to say it all the time. I was like, I'm gonna punch you in the throat right now if we're getting ready to go to Indy or Las Vegas or wherever else.
Oh, now we're on the inside track of the joke.
But I said, if he says something of substance, he answers these questions, I'll give him credit for. He didn't do any of that, and there's no path forward, and he didn't address any of it. And she starts softening. So, well, there might be a reason for that. There could be negotiations going on over here for this, that, and the other thing. And I said, great. He probably should have said that into the microphone a while ago. She's like, well, would you like him to say that into the microphone? I said, yeah, I would very much like that.
Yes, I would.
He's like, come on over here. So we were just getting started with some of the podcast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a couple minutes with Kevin Warren, still didn't answer the questions directly. And then next year, we're basically starting, over from scratch. I was like, well, that was a much better speech. And she's like, come on, come back here. And we did a 15-minute interview with Kevin Warren, like before his podium session. Like, no national media was getting that, nobody else. But it's like, sometimes that's a reminder that if you actually speak out, not everyone likes that, but just going along with what the league says, what other people say, sometimes you have to advocate for yourself, in which case you'll be rewarded for that in the long run. It wasn't exactly the most comfortable journey along the way to that point, but I didn't get punched in the throat.
Well, that's good. Nobody wants you to get punched.
Which was important. But it was, maybe someone in Chicago needs to write that about Kevin Warren and the move to Hammond, Indiana.
I bet there have been. I haven't read all of the articles, but I'm assuming that there have been plenty of that.
Yeah. So I don't remember what I wrote. I just remember
it's
being
great.
Very angry.
I'm reading it right now, and I'm finding great enjoyment out of it. I'll read it to you in the next segment,
okay,
what you had to say. I do want to pay off on the tease, though, about Ohio State's big commitment in Carlos May, defensive tackle out of Birmingham, Alabama. Jeremy Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos May, number 15 defensive lineman in the country, number 135 prospect overall, joins DJ Jacobs, Marcus Fakatau, Wyatt Smith as well as the defensive line haul. The crazy thing about this, though, Austin, is that Carlos May from, again, Birmingham, Alabama. The wild part about this, and I was reading this from Dan Hope of 11 Warriors, and here's where it gets crazy about, you know, we're not used to plucking players out of Louisiana. They're reserved for LSU. With Blaine Bradford. That's correct. Not plucking players really out of Alabama. That's been reserved for Alabama and Auburn for forever. The wildest part about
this. Just got an
this,
offensive tackle out of Mississippi as well.
That is correct. So Ohio State's starting to build some new pipelines here. The wild part about this is that the top 15 players, all right, the top 15 players in the state of Alabama for this recruiting cycle, not a single one of them have committed to Alabama, the University of Alabama. The top 15 players in the state are not going to Alabama.
Doesn't seem like a great strategy for Kalen DeBoer to keep his job. Now, recruiting is not, in this day and age, the be-all, end-all of roster management and roster building. But there are a finite number of resources available to you. And I know that you look at what Nick Saban did. That he got the best players in the state of Alabama while supplementing that with coast-to-coast recruiting.
Absolutely.
And they had success as well when they needed to dip into the portal ranks or graduate transfers, whatever the case may be. But as much as we might talk about portal strategies and teams that are constantly turning it over and looking to get older as quickly as possible, or the success that Indiana had, or the shift in philosophy now for Deion Sanders in Colorado, like, oh, well, recruiting doesn't work for us. We're going to go purely old and scoop up these guys from other programs. There doesn't seem to be an identity for what Alabama is actually hoping to do under Kalen DeBoer, and that appears to be sinking into the best players in that state right now. They're not signing up to go play for the Crimson Tide, and even the current players, the stat that's more interesting beyond what's going on for this particular recruiting class is when you're looking at Ohio State's roster and you're thinking about the Caleb Downs effect, mm-hmm, and Seth McLaughlin and Earl Little and James Smith and Quay Rousseau. I don't even count Julian, but
sure.
Nick Saban's retirement is in. I mean, he was at Alabama for a week.
And he'll tell you that he played there for a year.
And the facts might not all check out on that front from Nick Saban, but you're looking at going into the state of Alabama to win a recruitment, but also directly going into Tuscaloosa,
mm-hmm,
and their locker room and taking some of their best players and putting them on Ohio State's roster. And then when they get here, they're saying, well, it's really different. You know, the level of intensity and what you're asked to do in mat drills, we weren't ready for that. Uh-oh. I can't imagine calling into the Feinbaum show and being an Alabama fan right now and hearing all this discussion, seeing what's happening on the recruiting front, and seeing the roster lack of retention in the transfer portal. It's troubling.
It's just different, Austin.
And that's true.
You know that.
I know. I've been told.
It's a Three Thoughts Tuesday on a Monday with Austin. That's coming up in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big, you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Ryan Day's favorite radio show. Probably. Maybe. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out my guy Austin Ward here this evening. Big Ten Media Day is coming up in Chicago next week. Tony Petitti speaking on Tuesday.
Allegedly.
Don't know when.
Allegedly.
Maybe you and Berm and television's Adam King will get a chance to talk to him about the future of the league. I want to take you back, though.
Oh, boy.
In this article that is dated July of 2021. It's so old, it just says 5 years ago on the website.
Don't get specific with it.
If that was the best Kevin Warren could do for a debut, maybe there shouldn't be an encore.
Oh, no.
The Big Ten commissioner flopped, filibustered, and failed to deliver any substance in his first appearance at Media Days. And while evaluating press conferences might typically have little actual value, Warren would seem to be an exception based on his rocky first season and the growing uncertainty about his ability to lead the most powerful conference in the nation. Want answers about how this season's actually going to work? Check back in August. Need the Big Ten to throw its weight around as a realignment rumors heat back up? Warren was just content to see how the news plays out and see, quote, where it lands. Waiting for an explanation about what the hell happened a year ago or any recognition what the league botched nearly every major decision in his first year in Chicago? Nope. Warren has no regrets and wouldn't have changed a thing. It just continues to get spicy. I'm not going to read the entire article to you, but
that does sound familiar now. Yeah.
I think that's when you were full on in your PBS era.
It was. That wasn't about PBS. That was about playing games and knowing real. That was the part I think that sent this PR individual over the edge. I said, how can he say he has no regrets? Like,
no,
not even one.
Regrets.
Now I remember that part vividly. Where it's like,
what really is the essence of a regret, Warren said? What does that really mean? I don't have any regrets. Quite naturally, we all look back on our lives, and there are things that we wish we maybe could have done a little bit differently. But if I had to do it all over last year, I would make the same decisions that we made. Wrong answer, wrong setting for a philosophical brain teaser. Yeah, I mean, you were in your bag, buddy.
I was pretty worked up.
You were in your bag of tricks.
That's an interesting line. Philosophical brain teaser.
Any more brain busters for me? How about Rizzuto?
I think for a on deadline column that I had no intention of writing, that I might. It's too late for me to send that in for some awards, but I'm pretty proud of it. And it worked.
I think we should get, we're going to print that and I'm going to frame it at my desk back here.
I mean, it took, I'm not kidding. It took 5 minutes for that story to hit and for me to be verbally and nearly physically accosted.
Good. Sometimes you need to do that.
Just sometimes you got to speak truth to the power. You got to rattle some cages, Beam.
Hey, of course you got to rattle some cages.
You should have really been a jerk and asked if her entire thing was on the record.
I think it was recorded, but I don't know where. I don't know who has
the statute of limitations is gone now. It's fine.
But she continued to reach out, and we had a good working relationship from then on. And I don't think it's bad for to come like be upset about if you write something critical. I say this a lot. It's a key component of doing the job. If you're going to be critical, you need to be able to show up and talk face to face and explain yourself and stand on business that what you wrote, you mean, and why.
Or what you say you mean.
I didn't have to back down from that. It was a horrible press conference. No question about it. And if they thought it was going to be good, they were maybe just as disappointed with the delivery from Mr. Lack of Charisma up there, or lack of regrets. But, I think that's a key part of the job. It's really easy. I could have written that and then run away and not taken any accountability for it. But, if I don't mean it, it wasn't coming from a place where I wanted to attack Kevin Warren. I didn't have any intention of doing that when we showed up that morning. That was how I felt.
You left me no alternate options.
I just had to hit the nuclear button on it, and it got results. It got attention, and I think that they understood when they listened back and like, you know what? It probably wasn't in our best interest a year after COVID and pulling the plug on the season and going back in to say that they handled it perfectly. We all know that they didn't,
right. Which
was the problem. Like you're the commissioner. You're supposed to take accountability and take the bullets for everybody else in the league. There may have been a number of presidents. Some of this, when we think back on the votes and Ohio State and Nebraska saying, well, we want to play. And We might have to go independent to do so. You know, everyone that was advocating for that and looking at, we don't need to relitigate everything that happened in 2020, but to act like every decision they made was perfect and that they would have done it all over the exact same way. Well, what they did was a disaster almost every single week. And that
got worse.
And that wasn't the case in every other league. It just wasn't.
No, it absolutely wasn't. All right. It's a Three Thoughts Tuesday on a Monday. What's rattling around in that brain of yours as we are the week out of Big Ten Media Days? We are a little over 2 weeks from Ohio State starting camp, Austin.
Yeah, the thoughts that were on my mind was how we needed to have some form of watch list within the station. I felt like we were...
Station watch list?
Yeah, we were missing out on the fun. Everybody gets to have their preseason list, that, and they put out one today for the AFCA All Works team. Jalen McClain and Ryan Day were added to that watch list, which is when we get to the community service part of watch list season, I know it's almost over.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
But also it's like, well, let's just do our own. So at Roosters earlier today, I asked Bob and Jay-Z and Byrne, it's like, well, just give me your watch list. Like, who's going to be the most important Ohio State offensive player? Who's the most important defensive player? Who's going to be the newcomer of the year? So we went through and you know, rattled off some of those picks for that. And it got more responses than I anticipated. More varied responses. Because I thought it was going to be easy and we'd move on from offense. I thought you're either going to pick Julian Sain or it's going to be Jeremiah Smith.
A philosophical brain teaser.
As it were. Cut and dry. And Berm answered first by saying Bo Jackson. And so now...
On what? On
most important offensive player.
Okay.
And, well... First, he said, do you mean valuable, most valuable, or most outstanding? That the age-old debate. What are you voting for in the awards?
Could I take the offensive line as a whole? Could I do that?
I didn't anticipate that people would want to answer it in so many different ways. Because I was like, well, we'll have other categories where you could pick player who needs to do this, or X factor, or player to watch on the rise. But he went straight to Bo Jackson, and we had, you know, different answers on the offensive line. It's like, I thought we would just be like flipping a coin on if Julian or Jeremiah was more important. Mm-hmm. And I grossly underestimated that scenario. So that got me spinning off in all these other directions and thinking about, you know, because to me, it has to be Julian or Jeremiah if you're reaching your ceiling. But I can also understand the point that those guys made about, well, if it's Bo Jackson and if he runs for 1,500 yards and you complement that with Isaiah West, then this power run game comes back and the offensive line must have taken steps forward, or Arthur Smith is having an impact. Mm-hmm. I certainly understand the explanation, but I didn't anticipate that was where the conversation was going to go, especially because as we've gone through these summer months, Beamer, you know, nationally it feels like it's a foregone conclusion because Bo Jackson rushed for 1,000 yards as a true freshman, and I very much sense throughout OTAs that Ohio State and Carlos Lachlan and Ryan Day look at this as Isaiah West has a chance to be a starting running back or a starting caliber running back for Ohio State. Jacoby Jackson was brought in for a reason, and I didn't want to punch Berm in the throat about it, but I was like, I don't know that Bo Jackson fits for this answer. It could be if you're making a bet on it.
I think if you like speed up the time machine and go to the end of the season and say, well, Bo Jackson ran for, you know, 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Take it.
Then, okay, he was the most important player of the season, why Ohio State had this success. But, yeah, to your point, if we're voting as just individuals, not as a collective, Bo Jackson probably wouldn't have been a top 4 or 5 answer of mine for most important player on the Ohio State offense.
Because the one thing that when there's debate and when people are talking about MVP voting or Heisman Trophy voting, you use that old wins above replacement and
war.
The old war. You get the analytics involved. Mm-hmm. Or you just think about
percentage.
Could you replace this player on that roster? What would the season look like? And I know that there is a ton to like about Tavian St. Clair, a ton. The physical attributes, you know, the arm strength that he showed off in the spring game. But he doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have the track record. He doesn't have the knowledge of the offense that Julian Sain does. And if there was a scenario where Ohio State had to start over with another first-time starting quarterback this year against this schedule, That seems to me like it'd be a major problem. Mm-hmm. And maybe they could solve it because of all the other gifts that Tavian St. Clair has. And he gets up to speed and then there's no issue. But I think, and I know I'm just going to be careful because I've made this mistake in the past.
Learn from your past mistakes, Austin.
Jeremiah Smith is unequivocally the best player in college football. But Ohio State, and this happened a couple years ago with Marv. And I said, well, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world that happened to Ohio State if they lost Marv, because guess what? They have four other five stars in the room, and Emeka is going to take this step up over here, or you're going to have these other guys that are ready. It's maybe not quite the case right now for Ohio State's wide receiver room as it has been over the assembly line for the last 7 years, but it feels like Ohio State could probably get the production back from the totality of that room, where, yeah, there might be a pretty sizable gap between Jeremiah and Brandon Ennis and Kyle Parker and Devin McEwen. There is a sizable gap, but not one that, like, Ohio State wouldn't just throw up its hands and be like, well, we got to give up here.
No.
They probably wouldn't even have to dramatically change their offense from the way they're viewing it right now. They wouldn't have someone who can do Jeremiah things, but the rest of that room collectively could probably get close to that level of statistical production. I don't think that's the case at quarterback.
I don't think it is either, because this is a daunting schedule, and you already saw what Julian Sain could do in his first season. We're all excited to see him in the second season. Not to say that Tavian St. Clair can't do that, but you're also in a position where you have Julian Sain and that you don't need to worry about that right now. We know we have some things going on over at the Horseshoe for the football season. Should also be anticipating some big changes over at the Shot. We'll get into that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Office Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222 or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
The future of recycling is now at Rumpke Waste and Recycling. The recycling leader has opened North America's largest, most technologically advanced recycling center right here in Central Ohio. This one-of-a-kind facility features interactive displays, educational opportunities, and the ability to process over 60 tons of recycled material per hour. Rumpke is committed to recycling and sustainability efforts. And for more than 90 years, Rumpke has worked to make sure the items you place in your recycling bin get used again. Visit Rumpke.com to learn how you can team with Rumpke to put less trash in our landfills and more of it to good use.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
4 out of 5 dentists recommend this show. The other dentist is a Michigan fan. Yuck. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Nate Dogg doing a great job hanging out with us tonight. Instead of our guy, Jacob Reimer, who's currently on vacation somewhere down in North Carolina.
Why are you torturing him?
He deserves to be in the torture chamber.
He's on vacation and you're still sticking that needle in.
I mean, yeah, why not?
I get it.
You know, he deserves it. He deserves a vacation very much.
He's which part does he deserve?
He deserves a vacation. All right, man. He works very hard in what he does, and he's very good at what he does as well. But they were driving down to, I don't know, the Outer Banks or somewhere on the ocean in North Carolina.
There's definitely water.
There's water somewhere nearby. And he was telling me the plans, like last Friday after the show, they left at like 2 a.m. and drove down to Chapel Hill. I'm like, well, what? You're driving all the way down to Chapel Hill. Like, why are you...
Maybe just keep going.
What's the difference that's going to make? He's like, well, you know, the theory behind that is if we leave at 2 a.m., we can be down there by 10. And I'm like, that's not really computing in my brain. If you're leaving at 2 a.m., just get to your destination by 4 p.m.
Finish the journey.
You know, on Saturday. Like, you're in North Carolina. I know it's a big state, but, you know, from Chapel Hill to the beach... It's not that far. It's another
also,
3 hours.
Why Chapel Hill? There's plenty of other destinations inside that wonderful Tar Heel state.
So yeah, I was going to say, why is Chicken Reimer going to North Carolina not during basketball season?
It's a great question, Nate. And he's like sending us pictures on Saturday of the Dean Dome. I'm like, I don't care that you're at the Dean Dome right now.
Congratulations, you're at an empty building.
It's crazier that you're there and didn't just drive all the way to your vacation destination that you made like a 4 hour detour to go there.
It's also the saddest looking basketball arena that I've maybe have ever seen in my life. He sent the picture. I didn't know that was the whole plan. He didn't describe it. I wasn't anticipating seeing a picture of the Dean E. Smith Center on Saturday. But I was like, that looks like a convention center for like accountants. Or
I said the rack is looking beautiful on this fine summer Saturday.
Or it looks like one of those like abandoned malls in the suburbs of Indianapolis. Like that's one of the people of North Carolina are fighting tooth and nail to keep that building when all their administrators and athletic directors say, hey, wouldn't you like something new, something shiny, something that holds more people, not something that looks like, I don't know, should be graffitied by someone, Jay and Silent Bob. Like, yeah. What is this building? And why are you there?
Why is this the destination for the movie Mallrats?
This is horrible.
What is going on here?
Embarrassing.
And so, anyways, I just had to put him into a little bit of a torture chamber here this evening, because as everybody knows, if you're a golf fan, Masters ticket applications came out today, or I guess no letters.
It's Rejection Monday.
Yeah, Rejection Monday. So check that. Got a big fat no from Augusta National for the Masters. But we did receive a yes from the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which is the Saturday.
Could you tell in the send, like, did it just say Augusta or did it say Women's Am? Like, did you have hope that it was the real deal?
It says Augusta National Women's Amateur.
Okay, so you knew from the start.
It didn't say the Masters.
All right.
And it said your ticket application was selected. I'm like, oh, well, that's very cool, because all of the stuff for the Masters merchandise and pro shop and everything will be open. Also, it's Augusta National, so it's going to be
pretty
a great
cool place
way,
for a walk.
Great way to walk around and spend an entire Saturday.
A couple thousand dollars.
And so that was my question to you. Like, between Television's Adam King and our guy Jacob Reimer, like, how much money am I going to spend in the pro shop for them?
The strange thing is that Television's Adam King spends, I think, all of his salary on items in the pro shop for
only play 11 holes of golf.
Go play 11 holes. But if it's the Village, if it was Scioto, he's spending like everything in his wallet to buy pro shop merchandise. But all he ever wears are suits and ties. So I don't know where it goes. But I would conservatively guess that Adam King is going to want you to spend $600 and then try and steal
something
for his office.
A patch of grass.
I don't know that Reimer is on that level, but he did spend a pretty penny. I'd only barely known him for like a month when he went to the PGA and he brought us both back a lovely souvenir. So he seems intent on expanding his collection. So I think $1,200.
I think $1,200 is a good. I'll get you a hat or something like that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's for free. That's for having to put up with me multiple times a week on this show.
You didn't even. I'm sure somebody has commented on the fact that I'm doing the Buckeye Show without a hat. This never happens.
It's very strange.
Neither one of us.
I saw you walking into the studio and I was confused for a moment.
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy without a hat on?
But I don't know that we've ever done a show where neither of us had a hat on.
No, it's an albatross. It's a very rare bird.
Go down and get me one from the Masters.
I will. I got you. It'll be very cool. So excited to do that. Also, it's Meredith's spring break, so she gets to go. She didn't get to go last time. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. Ohio State's making several upgrades.
Last time,
upgrades.
He just really slipped in that humble brag.
Ohio State is making upgrades to the Schottenstein Center, something that the Dean Dome only dreams of doing.
Good.
An offer to enhance the fan experience of Buckeye basketball and hockey games, installing a new video board at center court of the Schott, more than 7,200 square feet of LED displays around the arena, and also a new audio system. All right, if you're not going to tear the building down and build a new one, the least you can do is upgrade the amenities, and that's something that Ohio State seems very keen on, Austin. So between that, the horseshoe upgrades, everything going on, construction season on campus, they are continuing to lay out these big projects. Of course, the Woody trying to get done in a few years as well.
I think you can look at what was one of the primary reasons that Ross Bjork was hired, to raise money, to fund rosters, but also to make sure that if there was a fan experience where people were still coming into the two revenue producing venues, the horseshoe and the Schott. I think he's done that. And that doesn't mean that every decision he's made that everyone loves. And you think about, you know, the South End Zone and the hospitality suites. I don't think that that's overwhelmingly popular, but I bet that those seats are going to be full, and I bet they're going to drive in revenue that's going to go back into the roster.
Don't know how great of a spot it'll be to watch a football game.
It might not be, but also those ones at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, I don't know how you see anything down there.
You don't.
You pay to be in the building.
You look up at the
big screen.
And then
you look up at the big, you know, the 70-yard video board that's up there. But, you know, if that is coming in and it makes sense for Ohio State, then you have to do it. There are things to make it better in both venues, and whether we agree with everything that he's doing on that front, he's making an effort. Can't fault that. And both buildings, I think, are going to be better in the long run for it.
It's talking season down in the ACC and the SEC. We'll get into that in the Pulse coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donatos.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donatos, gotta love more.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Things are popping at Al's Delicious Popcorn. With over 80 flavors to choose from, we have something for everyone. From classics like caramel cashew, white cheddar, and our famous vanilla butternut, to new flavors like chicken and waffles and spicy barbecue. They are all made fresh and they are all delicious. Visit us online at alspopcorn.com or come see us and experience the best service in town at 1500 Bethel Road in Columbus. Al's Delicious Popcorn.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening. I'm Nate Putterwalder, Sports Update. The University of Michigan today announced Athletic Director Ward Manuel will step down at the end of the year. This following an investigation into the athletic department that found that weaknesses in accountability, organizational structure, oversight, and reporting created conditions in which misconduct was not always addressed. The Guardians are at home tonight, opening a four-game series with the Minnesota Twins. They sit a game back in the AL Central. Tanner Bibee is on the mound for the Guardians, taking on Joe Ryan. The Cincinnati Reds are out west for a series with the Seattle Mariners. Andrew Abbott of the Reds duels it out with Seattle's George Kirby. First pitch comes your way at 9:40. Catch the action right here on The Fan. And in NFL news, the Green Bay Packers and defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt came to terms on a three-year, $57 million contract extension. This update brought to us by Vermeer Heartland. Vermeer Heartland opens in Columbus August 3rd. Get the Vermeer equipment you trust, genuine parts, and expert service. Visit VermeerHL.com. Bringing sports news and weapons to The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Hour number two of the program for us here on this fine Monday. Nate Dogg with an update there for you. Sports galore here on a Monday. Basically just Major League Baseball going on right now. MLS is back though, Austin.
All the way back.
Yeah, catch the fever on that one. It'll be a fun run-in for the crew, I hope, at the tail end of the season here.
Be hard to get much lower than where we were in March.
Bryce Mendez going to save the season for us.
Let's see.
Also with former Manchester United great Eric Bailly.
It took Murph was in here with me on Friday for the Buckeye Show. The signings coming in. Television's Adam King and Television's Nicole Sheeran are like, how are we sure about this pronunciation? Make sure that I'm getting it.
Yes.
I know. It took probably 30 minutes before they decided to move on from that conversation. And it involved a lot of people just going, bye!
I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Great time.
And he was here for that. Nate Dogg, what do you have for us this evening?
Well, it's media days, and as usually happens, coaches are saying very silly things. Let's start with Pat Narduzzi of Pitt.
The Narduzzinator.
Oh. He went out and said... Talking about coming from Michigan State 8 years ago, or after spending 8 years there, coming to Pitt in 2015, I said it then, I said it now, after about 2 years in this league, this conference is better. It's better than the Big Ten. It's got more skill. I've said that for years, and I'm going to stick to my guns. He then went on to say, you look at our record in bowl games against the SEC and the Big Ten, you look at our record in the regular season, we don't have a losing record. We have a winning record against those teams. Friendly reminder, Pitt is 1-6 against the Big Ten.
Yeah, and most notably, 1-4 in regular season games in the Big Ten. 0-2 in bowls with losses to Northwestern in the 2016 Pinstripe Bowl, which famously happens where, Austin?
That's Fenway Park.
That is correct. In Michigan State in the 21 Peach Bowl. The SEC record is a little bit better, but still, Narduzzi 2-7 against the combined conferences between the ACC or the Big Ten and the SEC. I just don't know why. Why do you say stuff like that? What are you doing? What are you trying to get out of it? I know you're trying to get a rise.
But what's the benefit of that?
I don't know.
It's great that you advocate for your team and instill confidence. And this is the time of year where you say, we're going to go compete for championships. Yes. Everyone is in the best shape of their lives. There's a greater buy-in than we've ever seen before. That's great. Talk about your team and what you're trying to accomplish. No problem. You can stop right there. And sometimes people might scoff at you, but it would probably be limited to other fan bases within your conference. You can.
Didn't Duke win the ACC at 7-5? Maybe that's making his point for him. Well,
So deep we had to make up a new tiebreaker that doesn't even have rules. And anyway,
we had to kick Notre Dame out of the college football playoff, even though they're technically a member, non-member.
You can talk about how you think that the schedule that you play, the strength of the league is very good, and advocate for your colleagues. That's all well and good, too. But it would probably behoove you, if you're Pat Narduzzi or anyone else at ACC Media Days, to be like, we think this league is underrated nationally. Mm-hmm. We've had great success against the other leagues. We think it is a tougher road to get there. That's why we're pushing for different opportunities to get into the college football playoff, why we think 24 is right. And you can say all of that without then having to dip into fantasy land, which is pretending that you are better than the Big Ten or the SEC.
Well, there's just no need to do it. The empirical, historical data is there.
It's not there.
We don't need to make things up.
And if he had said, when I left the Big Ten, it was a different league. I think that the ACC right now is more competitive or on par with what the Big Ten was in 2014. You could say, you know what, maybe you have a point. There were not the teams on the West Coast. There was not the influx of NIL. There were not as many high-level coaches in the Big Ten as there are right now.
Not nearly enough five-star commits. You certainly weren't coming off three straight national championships as a conference.
It's just not the time or the place to be doing it. Hey, read the room. Advocate for your league, but you don't have to do it at the expense of your own credibility. Like, we all know that that's not true. And there's, you can pick whatever head-to-head record you want. Those championships, all the last three of them, they're all on one beautiful t-shirt.
Which may or may not be in the bottom drawer in my bedroom.
And it's printed in Chicago.
Should I wear it tomorrow?
Not Charlotte. Yes, absolutely. You should.
Okay, all right, I'll wear the shirt tomorrow.
I can take it to Chicago next week and see if we can get
it signed.
Get it signed by... when Kurt Cignetti swings by Radio Row, I'll just have it laying on the table with a Sharpie. Can't ask for autographs. I don't ask for autographs. But if it's just sitting there...
Have it signed Tony Petitti, Ryan Day...
Maybe that's how we can guarantee that Tony
Kyle
Petitti...
Kyle Whittingham.
...will swing by. Hey, Tony, can we get you... This is for charity. Can you sign this...
If that happens, that thing is going to be framed... Right there above the blocko where we're sitting. Or somewhere in this room, if that happens. If you get a Kurt Cignetti autograph on that t-shirt, it'd just be the greatest thing of all time.
I know we can get 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And maybe the commish. That's the goal.
Nate, who else was...
Don't want the third one.
Who else was talking trash today?
Well, Eli Drinkwitz decided to throw his... opinion out there of why the Big Ten has won the last three national championships.
Can't wait to hear this.
That reason, of course, being they don't play any non-conference A4 games.
Okay. Mm. All right. I mean...
Oh, by the way, Missouri's non-conference last year was Central AR, Louisiana, UMass, and the mighty Kansas.
Do you know who it is this year? University of Arkansas Pine Bluff, Kentucky, and Troy.
He also went on to state, we have to stop acting like it's just playoffs or busts. Well, there's so much we can accomplish in our season and not make the playoffs.
Yeah, go tell your bosses then.
Also, to be fair to Eli Drinkwitz, like, they had a masterclass against Ohio State in that Cotton Bowl, I think, a few years ago. I just forget about that game. So often.
I think you have forgotten about it if you consider that performance a masterclass.
Hey, they bogged down the Ohio State offense.
It was a great defensive performance. That's great. Right.
He's a defensive visor guy, Eli Drinkwitz. Not the Mad Hatter, offensive visor guy.
Okay. Why are we bringing up this memory of the most boring game that I've watched and covered in my entire life?
Why do we continue to have... moving goalposts when it talks about why the Big Ten is currently better than the SEC. Like, wait,
because they haven't been able
every year. Like,
they haven't been able to come to a conclusion, except when Kirby Smart says, "Well, they've got good players and they're getting a lot better coaches." Like, he's the
closest. That makes sense.
And then he immediately tried to undo it. It's like, well, never mind. I'm not supposed to say that. I just got sanctioned by Greg Sankey. None of the rest of those coaches, and Kirby can because he's got national championships and he's still highly competitive.
He's still got a great squad this year.
And conference championships. He can say it in a level that everyone else is fumbling around for an explanation. They're throwing answers at the wall. Which one are people going to believe today? They're just, debating up the hook. They're throwing it out there. Are they going to buy this A4 explanation? Are they going to go for the fact that we were playing 8 conference games? No, 9.
Oh, they're older than us.
They're everything that they try and come up with, they won't speak the truth.
They have bigger NIL donors.
The fact that they are not able to cheat and pay for players under the table is why they don't just hoard all the 5-stars anymore. And that's why their league is not what it once was.
I forget what article I was reading. It was something today about the dispersion of 5-star players and how you look back to really like the late 2000s and then late 2010s when, the SEC was rattling off national championship. Like, I mean, we were in the heyday era of the SEC. I mean, you had Saban down there, right? I mean, you got Lane Kiffin, you got Ed Orgeron winning national championships at LSU, at Auburn getting one. But it was the dispersion of 5-star players and how the SEC over a period of like 15 years had like 95% of the five-star players to come out of high school football. It's like, all right, well, that makes sense. You know, if you're a believer in star power and translating to the next level and why your teams are going to be good. And then since NIL has kicked in, Austin, that dispersion has like now been, I want to say it's like 60-40, that the Big Ten has 60% of it, and then the 40 is the rest of college football. Like, it's a wild thing to read and actually put into print when it's that black and white of an answer as to why the Big Ten is more competitive now and why the SEC seems to have a hard time catching up to this new great landscape of college football.
Well, in the land of it just means more, if the SEC coaches, in even to some extent Dabo Swinney at Clemson or Mike Norvell at Florida State, if they had to go out and say publicly, well, we're not getting the five stars anymore because we used to cheat. Then they would say, well, why don't you cheat now?
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be this endless bickering cycle going on between coaches and fan bases and athletic directors and boosters about, well, how are we getting outspent? Why are we getting outspent? And they said, well, you know, we used to have a really good system. And then they let everybody pay players. And it used to be that the Big Ten was much more reticent to do that. And the Pac-12 was not interested at all. And so everyone, under the guise of iron sharpening iron and playing the best competition, would come to the SEC. And that's what we sold you for a long time.
We were so
USC
good.
USC was a little interested in paying players.
That's true. So was SMU.
True.
No, I mean, there have been...
Point for Nate Dogg.
There have been other examples throughout the years.
But they didn't... They didn't keep doing that after they got chastised and Pete Carroll got ran out of town. They're like, well, we'll stop. We'll follow the rules. We understand now what we did was wrong. But that, I don't think that's ever happened to, I don't know, Auburn or LSU. No,
never.
But if they did all of that and then they'd have to find a solution and actually try, how far is that going to go? They don't have the same resources. And that doesn't mean that Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan and Oregon, USC now, that are still going to win every recruiting battle. Those programs are still very good, and their fan base is passionate, and they do invest a lot of money. But their money doesn't go as far as it used to, and that's why it's different. And the only one who seems even somewhat willing to entertain that notion is Kirby Smart.
All eyes of the recruiting world now on David Gabriel George. Austin, the question of the day for you that came from me will revolve around the Canadian sensation coming up next on the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Body cancer divides, but inside the James, we unite. With nearly 300 cancer specialists, each focused on a single type of cancer, and over 1,500 researchers relentlessly pursuing new discoveries and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at optimizedit.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay optimized.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams, the agile, get it done teams, the achieve more together teams, and the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Bobby Carpenter was voted Best Talk Radio Personality by Columbus Monthly Readers. Catch Bobby daily on Morning Chew, 6 to 8 a.m. on the Fan's YouTube channel, the Fan app, and on demand on the 10 TV streaming app. Oh, and Tito's there, too.
For over 30 years, Schumacher Homes has been building affordable custom homes throughout the Buckeye State. Experience true customization on your land, your way, without any compromises. Come visit any of our 9 Ohio model home and design studio locations to see the latest in design trends and learn about our award-winning building process, or start online at SchumacherHomes.com. You'll be surprised how affordable a custom home will be. Schumacher Homes, proud home building sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Relax and let Kroger Pickup handle your grocery shopping this week. We start with only the freshest items, then choose your favorites, carefully pack everything up, and load it right into your trunk so you can feel confident it's what you ordered. Fresh groceries your way with Kroger Pickup and Delivery. And right now, you can save $20 on your first pickup or delivery order. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Now, we stay dry overnight tonight into Tuesday early in the morning across central Ohio. Some light smoke concentrations tonight and lows around 70. On Tuesday, we have a chance of seeing some severe weather across central Ohio. 90% chance of seeing a line or two of thunderstorms come rolling through with damaging winds. Highs in the low 80s, drier in the afternoon. Sunny and dry on Wednesday in 77. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is the Buckeye Show.
Hanging out my guy Austin Ward tonight. We'll let you know that we're here on the Buckeye Show, brought to you by our good friends over at CareSource. How are you feeling about David Gabriel George on Wednesday?
Not good.
No?
Nah, I don't feel good about it.
All right, we'll talk to Berm tomorrow.
Okay, you can.
You don't want to talk to him about it?
That's where the pessimism's going to come from.
Mm.
Or already has.
Negative Berm?
You know,
a lot of rumors flying around right now, Austin, about David Gabriel George.
It's a swing of emotions, and he's the only one that truly knows. So, you know, the vibe checks, the conversation on social media, you know, the sub-tweets, the whatever. I mean, it's all, I think, part of the show. And it is most important that wherever the kid wants to go and whatever is best for him, I think you have to understand that. I think what you're hoping, if you're Ohio State still, is that the pitch that you made to the player, and one that is a competitive, very competitive and lucrative financial package, a chance to play likely very early and right away and significantly in 2027, to be developed by the program that's sending more guys to first round draft pick status than any other program in the country, that's competing annually for college football playoff spots. Like, all those things on this scale tilt so heavily towards Ohio State that you almost can't believe there's anything that could balance it out from Tennessee. But money is heavy. And I think what you're seeing play out right now, and I don't know the dollar figures that are flying around, the conversations with, you know, Adidas and its influence and its chance of swinging that towards Knoxville. I don't know that David Gabriel George is the one that's like up for bid right now. And that's the complicating factor. You see other things with family members and mm-hmm. conversation about private jets or, you know, football camps that suddenly have a lot more branded gear from one specific company and manufacturer than probably should exist in the middle of summer. You know, again, none of that is meant to make an excuse, or we just had a conversation about the SEC and its money and how they're spending their resources and where it's going and the fact that they've got less of it. You know, if Tennessee goes all in with the help of Adidas to win this recruitment and there's that much financial difference between the two, I know what Ohio State is willing to spend within the ballpark. I haven't seen a contract. If Tennessee is blowing that out of the water to trump all the other things that point towards Columbus for David Gabriel George and his relationship with Carlos Lachlan and the offense that he'd be part of, I think you just have to say, okay, we'll see you in 2028. Yeah. I mean, I don't see any other scenario. Going into a bidding war with a desperate program like Tennessee doesn't make sense for Ohio State. And I don't say any of that to make someone feel better. Ohio State put all eggs for its running back recruiting into this one basket.
All of them.
And now that doesn't mean that the program is going to fold if they lose and they don't get that commitment on Wednesday night. I've made this point. I had this conversation with Berm and Mick Walker Thursday night on the Buckeye Show, and I know I've told you about this. It's not a secret what Ohio State is willing to spend for its 2027 running back. That means not just for high school recruits and the next two and the number two and number three on their board will probably revisit their discussions if David Gabriel George picks Tennessee. I don't know if he is or isn't. We're going to find out with the rest of the world on Wednesday right before the Buckeye Show goes on the air.
That's right. But about 47 hours away from right now, 46 and a half hours.
Yeah, and you know, you guys will break it down better than anybody. And Berm will have this, I know, he's been preparing for this day and the coverage and snap judgments and everything else that will be ready to complement that in the Buckeye Show. Like, there's only two outcomes. He's not going to go to Ole Miss. He's going to go to Tennessee or he's going to go to Ohio State. Everything points to the fact that he probably should go to Ohio State, but that doesn't mean that he will. And, you know, if that happens, whether that is taking that money and then investing it in potentially two running backs in the signing class or one recruit and one super high level, like very high level transfer portal target, I don't know who that would be. Like, that's not a conversation that Ohio State is entertaining right now, and they're not going to be tampering, but they also won't need to tamper because I know that every agent of every running back in the country is aware of what is on the table for David Gabriel George. And they would say, probably half of that would account for double what you're making at whatever program you're at right now, if Correct. You're a top level running back. So this is not a scenario where I think, and there will be hurt feelings, there will be accusations, and Ohio State should have done more and they should have gone to the mattress to do whatever it takes to get David Gabriel George. I personally don't agree with that, but I wouldn't fault anyone for feeling that way based on the scenario that they're in and how much time and effort and energy they've invested in pursuing David Gabriel George. But if they don't get him, the program will move on. They always do. I know he's good. Ohio State wants him.
And they want him really bad.
They're doing everything they can. And I mean that. It doesn't make any sense for them to go beyond where they're at right now. It really doesn't. That would be to the detriment of the rest of their roster and other five stars and other. You look at this class, it's really, really good.
Really?
And they're addressing the places that they need to. Offensive line and defensive line. This is the.
It's been a standout recruiting class for both of those units.
Most successful that it's been simultaneously in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the money needs to go. And if you're really good up front, you can win with a top 10 running back or two top 10 running backs or two top 20 running backs. That
the last time also, they had two top 10 running backs, it worked out pretty good for them.
Also, the scenario that they might be in by December or January could look wildly different. We talked about Bo Jackson in a Three Thoughts Tuesday on a Monday in the first hour of the Buckeye Show. You missed that conversation. Go back and listen to it on the 97.1 The Fan YouTube channel or get that podcast. But if Bo Jackson makes that leap, he's still got another year of eligibility. Mm-hmm. If Isaiah West makes that leap to what seems like he's been doing in the OTAs and coming out of spring practice, you're going to have to pay both of those guys to keep them for another year, which they have available to them, without even thinking about what Legend Bay could look like after a year of development in the program. If all three of those could be your running back room for 2027, I promise you that's not going to be very cheap. So even some of that money that you have earmarked that might go to recruiting or it might go to the transfer portal or it could go to both, well, that also depends on how much you have to pay to retain the guys that are already playing for Carlos Lawton.
Yeah, don't forget about that third bucket.
And the retention bucket, we know how important and how integral that has been to Ohio State and part of their success. So again, I'm not saying that to prepare anyone for the worst or to make them feel better if Ohio State doesn't win this recruitment battle that it has fought tooth and nail for all the way up until, you know, this last 46 hours until the decision is made public. But, you know, there is a real chance that despite everything trending in Ohio State's way, that they might not win it.
All right. So that was going to be the first prong of my question. The scenario, if David Gabriel George doesn't pick Ohio State and ends up going to Tennessee on Wednesday evening. The second prong of my question is take me down the path where David Gabriel George picks Ohio State. What does that look like for next year's roster? Because I'm guessing all of those guys that we had just mentioned in the roster retention bucket kind of shakes that up a little bit.
Yeah, so you just you mentioned door number three that's sitting over here. You're going to have to make difficult decisions about what that looks like, because while there is a scenario where you could find a way to keep all of those people happy, and that's, I'm not talking purely about NIL. I'm also talking about opportunities to carry the football, opportunities to be on the field, opportunities to develop. It won't look the same based on how much of that pie would be divvied up for David Gabriel George. So, you know, I don't know. So much would have to be determined over the next 5 months about which one is deserving of which allocation under the salary cap. I couldn't even begin to make a prediction. We need to see what that development, what a healthy version of Bo Jackson or Isaiah West looks like, what Legend Bay looks like physically by the time you get to November or December, because he's already changed pretty noticeably.
He's the wild card this season.
He is, and I still don't think that you have to expect or that you should expect him to be a key component of the offense this year. I think that would be, you can carve out a unique role for him and have an impact, but he's not going to be a game-in, game-out threat to run the football
between
the tackles.
He's not going to be what Bo Jackson was last year.
Absolutely
plain
not.
And simple.
They're different players. When the comparisons are made to Tyreek Hill or Curtis Samuel with Legend Bay, those should be the tells. One is an out-and-out wide receiver, and the other was someone who came to Ohio State as a running back, became a wide receiver, but was really a hybrid weapon who could do both at a high level. That's what you're talking about with Legend Bay. He's not an answer, I think, to this question about the running back room in 2027. And maybe I'll be wrong about that. Carlos Lachlan certainly wants to develop him into one, but I think he's viewed as more, gadget's not the right word, but as a hybrid weapon. A pivot is what Urban Meyer used to call him when he stopped calling that position the Percy position.
Yep.
I think that's what you're talking about with Legend Bay, but the money has to be spent regardless. So it's complicated either way. Like, there's only so much money, and it would be great if we lived in a world where it truly was bottomless. And Ohio State, it's spending more than virtually everybody else, but it is not going to outspend itself and bid against itself needlessly, or bid against Tennessee recklessly. So one way or the other, the decision on Wednesday is going to have lasting ramifications on what that roster looks like. But if they don't get an answer in the affirmative from David Gabriel George, it is probably going to be a much more all-encompassing five-month evaluation around the country and also on its own roster.
It seems like Notre Dame could join the Big Ten in as soon as 5 years. We'll do that coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
It's been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We're very close to Buckeye football. Very close. Uncomfortably close. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Big Ten Media Days in Chicago next week.
Woo-hoo!
The week after that, it's time.
Training camp time.
To get ready, Austin. Training camp over at the Woody. Thursday in a couple of weeks. Super excited. Football season is here. How you doing over there? You doing all right?
I'm beginning to think, Beamer, that maybe you and I have some sort of curse situation going on Mondays in our household.
There's quite the possibility of that.
So last week, we're sitting here in the middle of the show. You get a text. Fly massacre.
It wasn't even that. The text was, it's a murder scene in here. which
it left you hanging.
You know, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like any good radio tease. It leaves you hanging. What are these guys going to talk about the next segment? That was my text back. What happened? There's an infestation of flies. Meredith's killing them with her bare hands. You were talking about, you know, you're the Zen Meister and you're catching them, plucking them out of thin air with chopsticks.
That's right.
And how crazy it was. So, like, yeah, that happened last week. Which, by the way, when I got home, like, there were probably four or five more flies that had entered the premises. And then we didn't have any. We haven't had any since. So I don't know what happened.
Word got around in that tribe.
It was some sort of curse that was put on us, or something was dead in our house. And the flies managed to escape, but there's been no more flies since then.
Well, I think the curse has been passed over to the ward house this week, because maybe Allie took that note that I shared.
Like Widow's Bay. We're cursed.
Let's get straight to the point of what the problem is. We don't just say a murder scene. Let's go to the problem first, and then we can react accordingly. And this is what I got right before we went on. Well, Liberty set mac and cheese on fire by not putting water in the mac and cheese.
Nice.
Now the air quality in our house is like 500. Now we all know what those numbers mean. I said, well,
is this an instant mac situation?
This is an instant mac. That word was left out. But, Liberty is a like cup of instant mac and cheese eater every single day. And she had asked me to make it before I left, because dads make it the best. There's no doubt.
Because
that means that she doesn't have to. But she knows how. She's been making it basically her whole life. As soon as she could walk, I think she was making instant mac and cheese. She loves mac and cheese. Huge fan. But I said,
who isn't?
I said, I'm not making that for you. I got to go down to the station. I got to record with Television's Adam King. And then I've got the Buckeye Show with Beamer. It's time for me to go. I picked you up from dance camp. You have your special order from Roosters is in the fridge. You've got your full order of fried fingers, mm-hmm. curly fries, and 2 cups of nacho cheese. You're good. Also, the bean and cheese burrito, we asked for 2 last night. You only ate 1. It's also in the fridge. You don't need the mac and cheese. So that keep that in mind. That's important context. She didn't need to be making it in the first place. She had plenty of food. And I said, well, that sounds just wonderful. And then Allie said, like, it's really bad and getting worse. I have to leave. I've got all the windows open downstairs, plus the back door and the fan going down here. Well, it's like 90 degrees out. Now what are we going home to? Sweat box that's smoked out? I said, good Lord, can't wait to hear her explain how that happened.
You just forget about the water, man. Sometimes it happens. You get a rattle, you're doing different things, you forget the water.
That switched her into mommy defense mode. It's an accident, but it's real bad. Not buying Easy Mac ever again. And then that was followed up during the break with, we went to my mom's for a while. The air was better when we got home. Still there, but definitely better.
I can smell that air right now. I know exactly what that smells like.
Burnt popcorn times 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've cleaned, sprayed more Lysol, and lit a candle, it seems to be mostly gone, except for inside the microwave. For some reason, the garage reeks. I do have that open, so we'll see if that gets better. To which my only response, and you'll know it well, wild scene.
Yeah, wild scene. Hopefully everything is going okay in the ward house. Yeah, I think we're cursed.
I don't know what we have to do to break it.
I don't know.
What's next? I mean, that's every Monday we're going to have something?
I'll tell you what's next. And boy, next Monday going to be a little bit dicey, but I think if you get a Kurt Cignetti signed autograph on the back-to-back-to-back national champ shirt, I think that breaks the curse. He's the shaman in this situation.
That's the sacrifice that must be made?
Yeah. Got to happen.
To bring that into the studio and cleanse it?
I'll wear it tomorrow. But I think the curse only gets broken if that's signed by Sig.
Do you think we were cursed by Kurt Cignetti?
I think it's pretty possible.
Did I do something in Indianapolis on December 6th or whatever it was to anger...
You have continued to question the greatness of the Cignetti.
That is fair. It's wild scene, Nate.
I didn't...
Wild scene.
You're right,
I Nate. Would never do it.
I didn't know he was that powerful, though.
Yeah.
I guess I should have. The guy went undefeated in Indiana.
He told you that.
He is a wizard, and he cursed me. And somehow you've been looped into this.
I don't know how Maybe it's just I've been cursed.
Because you keep giving me a live microphone.
I've been cursed via osmosis. Being close to you has cursed me. He's the one who put the bad weather in Chicago for you to almost miss the marathon.
That's true.
I think he's up there
Oh, it goes back. How deep does it go?
I think the rabbit hole goes down deep. It goes down far. Whatever we said after he was introduced at Indiana, and then
I Googled him.
I know that, and we laughed. I don't have the tape on that show, but I know that we laughed about it.
Well, that was when he said Purdue sucks.
And so does Michigan and Ohio State.
So does Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That is a crazy thing to say. But now we're cursed.
The curse of Sig. It gets everybody.
I'm going to get Danhausen to go curse him, and then we'll be even.
I think you need to get the signature next week to break that streak. I'm going to wear the shirt tomorrow. It's going to be all good. Did you see this? Did you see this from Ross Dellinger today? So the Save College Sports Act, we had talked about that, and apparently lawmakers are making adjustments now.
Oh, they are?
Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti and the Big Ten and the SEC are saying, well, you don't really like this. Why don't you bend the rules to help us out instead of everyone else in college athletics? Anyways, I'm going to fast forward past all the stuff that, you know, maybe means something to you, maybe doesn't mean something to you.
It shouldn't, because it'll also get changed again and again and again.
Yes, it will. And here was, I thought, the most interesting thing to come out today with lawmakers meeting with people in college athletics. The latest negotiation between lawmakers and officials from the SEC Big Ten on the Save College Sports Act is to cap conference membership at 19 schools.
Well, I wonder how they arrived at that number.
All right, well, you know, let's figure out
those unbalanced conferences.
How many teams are in the Big Ten right now? You were at 14. You added 4 from the West Coast. So you're currently at 18. Mm. You add one more, brings you to 19. Here was the kicker of the entire thing. And also requires programs that move from one power league to another to operate as an independent for 5 years. There seems to be one team literally in America that fits that build that could possibly be joining a conference, and being an independent for 5 years wouldn't totally crush them. And that is Notre Dame Athletics, which still, now that we don't know anything about college football and the future of it, and Greg Sankey talking about creating super leagues and, well, we just might have to do this if lawmakers getting involved. Why in the world would Notre Dame ever join a league now? Got entangled up in this mess. Notre Dame sitting up there saying, you know what? We're good. We're all right. We've been by ourselves for forever. We're going to stay by ourselves for forever. And whatever you guys decide, you're going to include us because we're Notre Dame and you always include us in the party.
I'm afraid that you're right, Beamer. And at this exact moment, because for years, the last 20 years.
Oh, probably more.
Every single time you said, well, it's not to Notre Dame's benefit to remain independent. They need it to help with scheduling. And they conceded that point when they made their sweetheart deal with the ACC. They did need help. They were having problems filling it out and fielding a competitive schedule. Now, we can argue about how competitive it actually is.
Also signed a deal with the devil last year because Miami got in over you.
Yeah. So, but you can look at that. You can look at conference championships and qualifications that when they weren't bending over backwards to accommodate Notre Dame, they weren't to their benefit. But as it sits right now in the year 2026, there's probably less motivation and incentive for the Fighting Irish to join a conference than there's arguably ever been.
It totally is.
I don't blame them right now, and I've always blamed them in the past, but like they are.
I'll find something to blame them for eventually.
But not this. No. Like, we can't. They're sitting as pretty as it could possibly get. And you've got Greg Sankey and the SEC down there just saying, well, we're going to break away. We want to go independent if you're not going to put rules in place. It's like, what? The SEC is the one that's now begging for rules? How does make that make sense? Suddenly, you're like,
what fantasy land are we living in right now?
Suddenly, you and I are sitting here and like, you know what? We can kind of see Notre Dame's point. That's, they might have one here. And the SEC's over here like, no, we want rules, man.
I do have one question. Would that five-year rule even apply to Notre Dame?
No, because they're not in a power league.
Yeah, they could just go, okay, we're in the Big Ten.
But what other program outside of like your big dogs in college football can sit out, go independent for 5 years, and then be stable enough to then join a conference?
Like, but are they talking about their arrangement with the rest of their sports? I mean, maybe they view them as an ACC member just for everything other than football.
I don't know how that works. Require programs that move from one power league to another to operate as an independent for 5 years. I would think that if it's the Save College Sports Act, that's not just going to take place in football.
Right. That's that. I mean, I guess I don't have a full grasp on that. And I'm very much looking to all the forward to all the legalese and expansion and playoff nonsense next week around Tony Petitti or all the athletic directors in the Big Ten who they meet on Wednesday, the morning before Ohio State's turn in the spotlight. Like, I'm just gonna have to walk around the lobby and be like, hey, explain this to me like I'm five. Is this about Notre Dame being a basketball member of the ACC? Like, is this about, like, why is this exemption now being carved out again?
What is this about?
Yeah, please tell me why. And I'll just walk around all day and see. I hope it's Illinois. I hope Brett Bielema explains it to me.
Oh, Bert's going to be there. He'll explain it to you like you're three.
He said, let's go get a little Goose Island and talk this out. And I said, bet, let's go.
Let's go. Let's go, Bert. All in on the Illini again. Are you going to tell him our undying love and affection for South Carolina, too? Bert can sign the shirt if he wants to. I don't think Bert would want to sign the shirt.
I don't share that with you.
No, I know you don't.
That is your own thing.
Speaking of Goose Island, buddy, that's an island of one that I'm not willing to get out of. Hashtag Buckeyes is next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from Pillows Soft plush dual feel and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
Experience the ultimate gridiron experience at the Ohio State Football Training Camp presented by SafeLight and Bob's Discount Furniture happening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center August 6th through August 8th. Don't miss your chance to get the first look at your Ohio State football team. Bring your friends and family and dive into the excitement with inflatables, giveaways, and more. Tickets are limited, so get yours today to ensure you don't miss out on the fun. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Ohio State Buckeyes to purchase your tickets today.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by The Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at The Waterworks and header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us on this beautiful Monday evening. What do you guys got coming up for Talking Tuesday tomorrow, Austin?
Well, I had no idea what direction television's Adam King was going to go, and I never do. We have an interview, another one in the works with a Buckeye. It got pushed back from today to tomorrow.
All right.
So it'll be a Talking Tuesday on a Wednesday with that player.
We'll have a Three Thoughts Tuesday on a Tuesday tomorrow.
Yeah, it's all very hard to follow. You know, Adam said that there was a conversation that he had with Berm a couple of weeks ago when I was in Alaska, and it was about, you know, the power rankings or the most important players, similar to what you and I broke down earlier on in the show. And I said what I said tonight, which is that I think Julian Sain is the most difficult player to replace on Ohio State's roster, which somehow sparked his brain to say that, you know, what he's got to do to improve and be better than a year ago, and that Julian Sain needs to be a captain to accomplish that. And I pushed back on that. I said, I don't think that that's true.
Jeremiah hasn't been a captain the last 2 years.
Jeremiah has not been a captain. Will Howard was not a captain of the national champions, because some of the argument was that your quarterback needs to be your best leader. And I don't dispute that. He needs to be among your best leaders, and he needs to be a tone setter. But I don't know that it is a necessity or a requirement for a captaincy on Julian Sain's chest, you know, to get the Buckeyes where they want to go. So we debate that. It's probably the most that we have disagreed with his self-created topic that came up out of
embrace
thin air.
Debate.
Yeah, we that is not usually the premise that we have. Manufactured debate is not a hallmark of the beat.
Nor is it on this show.
It is not. Because sometimes if you have a good point, the other person might agree with it.
That is true.
They don't
or
have
they
to.
Might not.
They might not.
They might punch you in the throat.
But you don't have
allegedly. Or threateningly.
Threaten you. With stronger language mixed in there as well. I think that might have been the most shocking part. Like being in the middle of, we're standing on Lucas Oil. We're on the turf. We must have been on like the 10-yard line. And just hearing this, you know, middle-aged woman in a lovely dress threaten to not just punch you, but also just drop in as many F-bombs as you've ever heard in your life.
Gosh, I wish I could have been I was going to say a fly on a wall, but I think we're done with flies.
No more flies.
Yeah, we're done with flies.
How about just another media member on press row?
Speaking of curses, and you talked about the story of Liberty and, you know, burning the mac and cheese. That happens, you know, it's an honest mistake. I do dumb things like that.
Yeah, maybe like at 2 a.m. when you're coming back from college.
I've done dumb things before. I continued to do dumb things. But anyways, you have times, and, you know, I think a lot of parents, or, you know, if you're an aunt and your uncle, or if you're around young kids, you will understand this. You know, we have another son. He's 3 months old. He'll be 4 months old here in a couple of weeks. And, you know, he's starting to become a little bit more aware. He's smiling. He's on the verge of like laughing, which is fun. You know, he's getting that neck strength. We're good doing tummy time, making sure that we're rolling around a little bit. He's on the verge of being able to roll over, which is a big milestone. And so we have this little chair for him to sit in. You know, he sits upright and you can bang around, spin some things, get on the mirror, do whatever, you know, sensory activities for him. And this chair has been sitting in the living room for probably, I don't know, about a month. And William has tried to climb into it constantly tries to climb into it. And we're like, dude, even you as a baby didn't fit into it because your thighs were so thick that we would have to like pry you out when you were a child. So like we missed the opportunity to put you in that chair. Let's do it a little bit younger with your brother. Friday afternoon, we get back from Cleveland. It's like noon on Friday. Get back from Cleveland. 1 o'clock, I run up to Powell to get the dog because, you know, my dad and my stepmom were watching him while we were up there. I get back. I said, hey, get a shower, and then we'll be ready to go to a Friday happy hour at the lovely Studio 35.
Of course.
Okay. I get out of the shower. I'm changing. And I just hear directly downstairs in our living room, William! And I'm like, uh-oh, what's happening? You know, so I run downstairs.
It's not what you want to hear.
I said, what is going on? And I immediately see the problem. He has actually got himself, he's maneuvered himself into this infant chair, which was not a good situation for anybody. We spend, and I'm not kidding
you. Least of all, William.
We spend 25 minutes trying to pry him out of this chair. And at one, like, I mean, I know it hurt. It's hurting him.
Yeah.
You know, he's screaming.
Turning blue.
He's crying. His legs are turning purple. And I'm like, well, at some point, we're either going to A, have to like lather up your legs and try to get you out, or B, the nuclear option is that chair is going to have to go away and we're going to have to cut you out of this thing.
Right.
And Meredith's like, well, I don't want to cut it. You know, that's for his brother. Like he likes that thing. I'm like, well, your other son is currently stuck in an infant chair. Like, which option would you rather have? Your son be attached to an infant chair for the rest of his life.
It's a real Sophie's choice you got
or,
there.
Or, you know, we can buy another chair for the infant. Finally, after a 20 to 25 minute ordeal, we decide to get the scissors. We finally pry him out. And I mean to tell you,
with the scissors, you cut his legs off?
I told him to be still. There wasn't a lot of room around the cloth and his legs. Again, they were turning purple.
Yeah.
And so We finally were able to pry him out. And for the next 30 minutes, Mayor and I are like catching our breath, you know, we're like, hey, buddy, just go do something else right now. And he looks at us stone cold. And I think this was, it's parenthood. You can't say anything else about it other than you don't know what's coming next and what's around the corner. He looks at us both and goes, I don't understand why you two are frustrated. And then he walks to the other room. I just look at her. I'm like, this is the most insane thing that has ever happened in our house. We had told him for a month, don't get in there. Don't get in there. Don't get in there. Cries for a half an hour, 25 minutes being stuck in this chair. 2 minutes later, I don't know why you guys are frustrated at me. It was the most diabolical thing anyone could have done.
He was the one in pain. Why are you guys mad?
It's real.
Exactly.
Philosophical brain teaser.
Way to bring it back to the very beginning of the show. You never know, man. You never know. I didn't think the one thing in our house that would get him would be the infant chair.
3 years later, climbing in.
I didn't think that would be it.
That's the stress that you're hoping for on a Friday evening before happy hour.
Mayor goes, do you want to go to studio still? I said, I want to go more now. And also, can we call a babysitter and just bring Benjamin with us? Let's leave him here. Let's get some space from the Vlad.
I think just no selling the previous half hour is the best part of that story to me. What are you worried about?
Yeah.
It's a normal part of the day.
Chaos. Unfettered chaos.
I tried that chair out. It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah. All right. It's not for my brother either, because now it's in the trash. It had to be ripped apart.
That's too bad.
Austin, had a great time with you here tonight. I had so much fun with you tonight. What do you say we do it again tomorrow after a big Talking Tuesday on a Wednesday and Buckeye Hoops availability tomorrow?
It seems like my schedule is filling up tomorrow night, but I'll be here.
All right. Have fun on the juice tomorrow, too, at 6 a.m. Okay?
Great. Yep.
Everyone have an awesome evening. Something else will play, and then at 9:10, we'll kick it to Reds baseball. Everyone have an awesome night. Talk to you tomorrow. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.